This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch us on Twitch. ESPN 1000 Chicago is the channel. Check it out. Hang out. Join the chat. We'll respond throughout the show. Shams Charania earlier today reported this on Twitter. He says this: the New York Knicks are interviewing Warriors assistant head coach Mike Brown for their head coaching job. Sources tell The Athletic and Stadium. So Shams Charania says the Knicks are interviewing another candidate for their head coaching position. The Bulls and the Knicks are in the same boat this offseason. We all assume that Jim Boylan will be out and the Bulls will not have him as their head coach next season. So at some point, the Bulls will have to interview candidates to find that guy to replace Jim Boylan. The problem is, since Boylan is still in the seat, the Bulls are not doing anything. They might be doing research behind the scenes, but right now, there's no interviews to be had and no interviews on the schedule to kind of put together. And candidates like Mike Brown, assistant for the Warriors, who not only with his time with the Warriors spent a lot of time with the Cavs and has coached major players in the NBA, Steph, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, LeBron James. Mike Brown is a hell of a candidate. And a guy that I hope and would wish that the Bulls would interview as well. But the problem is they can't really interview anyone or do anything right now because Jim Boylan's still the head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, there's a couple things that go into this. I think that also right now Mark Stein reported that the Knicks have like 10 guys that they're interviewing, that they're set to interview through Zoom or through whatever way they can start interviewing. Jason Kidd is going to be one of them as well.
Yeah.
But like, yes, you're right. The Bulls have not started to do anything of that we know of. They could be doing stuff behind the scenes that we don't know, all that good stuff. But ultimately, there's two things that I'm noting here. One, Adrian Griffin still hasn't been listed in any of these reports. And by all accounts, he's one of the main targets, if not the main target, for the Bulls should they move on from Jim Boylan. That's the key part. Should they move on from Jim Boylan? Because last week, Malika Andrews was on with myself Tom Waddle.
Yeah, I heard it.
And said, not so far. Because I had to ask her to be like, hey, look, I specifically brought up the Knicks and said, look, the Knicks are interviewing all of these people. The Bulls got out ahead of it by moving on from Gar Forman, by elevating John Paxson or pushing him, whatever happened to John Paxson,
Upstairs to the upstairs.
Upstairs. Yeah. He's on the roof now.
No, they added an upstairs to the upstairs.
All right.
The Advocate Center, only two floors. They added another floor.
And now they brought in Karnišević, they brought in Mark Eversley, and they were ahead of the game. Now, the next step is to be ahead of the game on the coaching staff, which is something it seems like the Knicks are doing. And I asked her, well, why aren't the Bulls being progressive on this front?
Yeah, here's Malika Andrews. Are the Bulls doing a disservice not parting with Boylan now?
When someone shows you who they are, believe them. When someone tells you something, I guess in the case of the Bulls, maybe you would have reason to question it, but they have said so many times that Jim Boylan, they're not rushing away from him, no matter how much fans maybe want them to do so. I don't think the Bulls see it that way. I don't think the Bulls see themselves as doing a disservice to anyone because their ownership group, for better or worse, seems to really like Jim Boylan. And so
hell yeah.
that's, And I will and go pour yourself a drink after that one, because I know that that's not what you wanted to hear. But I mean, I don't think that they're viewing themselves as a team that is in an imminent coaching search right now. The Knicks, on the other hand, are.
So there is still a chance that because Carter Sobis has said that
watch
he wants to get
Abdallah.
Well, he said that he wants to get face to face, and I understand that, but you can't do that right now, and they will when they can. Maybe they can now with Illinois. Maybe they can go to like a restaurant or something when it opens, or a patio here in Chicago. But ultimately, there's still a chance that Boylan is the coach of the Bulls.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Oh, there's more than a chance. You need to wrap your head around. There's more than a chance that he's still a coach of the Bulls.
Whoa, come on.
Wow, I did not know that we were going to take this turn.
We just walked into crazy town. Malika, you're telling me next year Jim Boylan
he very well still could be the coach of the Bulls next year. He could be.
Last week listening to you and Waddle talk with Malika, and the first thing I thought was, are you blanking kidding me?
It's crazy, right, that there's more than a chance. And Malika's very connected in the league.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Connected. More than a chance, more than likely, that he's going to be the coach. Do you know how much goodwill you have with the fans right now by finally firing Garpax and the chants and the billboards and everything like that? How much goodwill you've got with the fans right now, and then all of a sudden you're going to get rid of all of it. You're going to get rid of 100% of the goodwill that you have with the fan base right now by keeping Jim Boylan.
I don't know if you get rid of 100%.
No, it's 100%. Someone who wants to keep Jim Boylan.
All right. Other side of the argument.
Besides Jim Boylan.
I could make the argument that right now, and with what they have on the roster, I don't think in this offseason they're going to make a whole lot of moves. So what you could argue is that this next season, so they're going to play out this season in Orlando. Then the season's going to end in the middle of October. Then we're going to go right into the draft and free agency like within the following week. And then we're going to hopefully have the NBA season for next year take place over the course of next winter that's coming up. You can make the argument that not a lot of moves from Karnišević or from Eversley are going to take place, and it's more of a wait and see approach to figure out what you have. Now, if you're not really making many moves, thus what would be the point if you're technically not trying to win or build what you have? You're just trying to figure out what you have. Would I do it that way? Probably not. I would want a coach to come in here who could implement his style to then improve his players, to then figure out whether or not Lauri Markkanen is worth giving an extension, whether or not Wendell Carter Jr. is going to be anything more than a 12-8 guy.
You just proved my point.
Well, I'm saying that's what I would do. I'm saying I could understand the argument of we're trying to assess everything. We don't necessarily need to make a move on a head coach right now.
Yes, you do. You can't truly assess everything with Jim Boylan as the head coach. The players regressed this year. The guys who were supposed to be getting better got worse. Lauri Markkanen got worse. Zach LaVine, not supposed to be the best player on the Bulls. Kobe White.
Zach LaVine, in your rant, Zach LaVine got better.
Okay, fine.
Your best player
got better. The one guy that's supposed to already be great got better. Fine. Kobe White wouldn't start. Why wasn't he starting?
Started to get better at the end.
Okay. But
Boylan's hand was forced in that because he basically neutered Kobe White's development early on this season by not allowing him to play point guard or not allowing him to start because since he's a rookie, he has to sit the pine. Like, that's nonsense.
I want to hear time of your life, good rinse, parentheses, time of your life, and Jim Boylan. That's what I want to hear. Not with the baseball stuff.
Okay.
I want to hear it about Jim Boylan.
Carl Ravitch.
I want to hear the hell yeah, and I want to hear all the bad timeouts, and I want to hear all that looking into the souls of the players and all that. I want good riddance, Jim Boylan. That's what I want. Good riddance, parentheses, Jim Boylan. That's what I want.
If you just started listening to the show, I played a montage earlier about Major League Baseball in the last 3 months, and it featured Carl Ravitch and a whole bunch of different voices about the Major League Baseball's inability to get the season going. And Abdallah's calling back to the Green Day song that I chose to use for this montage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lastly, the percent of a chance we're playing Major League Baseball.
We get
this
it.
Year.
It's all the bad baseball stuff. But my point is, I want good riddance, parentheses, Jim Boylan, bad timeout, and parentheses.
I was shocked to hear Malika Andrews say that to you and Waddle.
So was I. You heard it in my voice.
Yeah, no, I heard
crazy.
It in your voice. And her laughing at your reaction, like, you better get ready because this could possibly happen. Now, if we look at possible head coaching candidates, I would have put Mike Brown on my short list of five coaches that I would give you. I would give you Mike Brown. I know Emi Udoka is going to be there. I know Adrian Griffin is going to be there. Mm-hmm. Griffin, Udoka clearly have been talked about behind the scenes as two individuals that could be coaches for this team. I like Mike Brown. I know the name that we talked about a little bit earlier ago, Jason Kidd, not for me.
But it's just, look, you're interviewing people. The Knicks are interviewing 10 people. Do they need to interview 10 people? Probably not.
It's called due diligence.
But absolutely it is. You bring in everybody you possibly can.
Now, the name that hasn't been rumored yet for the Chicago Bulls has been linked to the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau. Do you think Bulls fans would want the Bulls to interview and talk to Tom Thibodeau? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to have him as your head coach. Would you want AK and Eversley to talk to Thibodeau?
I think that Thibodeau, while he is... I don't want to say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I want to say that he has a mentality where he wants control of everything. Tom Thibodeau is a great great basketball mind. And by all accounts, he's learned from his ways of playing guys, 49 minutes in a 48-minute game. But ultimately, if he's going to want more control over the roster, I don't know if that's something that Eversley and Karnišovas are going to want to bring up or give up. So I think that because of that, they're not going to want Thibodeau. I don't know. Of course, fans might want him. It's nostalgic. It takes you back to a better time for the Bulls. It takes you back to when Rose was here, when Noah was here, when Butler was here. You go to all those. You think of all those players and how close they got to going on a championship run when Tom Thibodeau was here. He's really good at developing young players.
Well, what part of the life cycle is this team in?
Developing young players.
Are they?
I would think that with Kobe White.
They have enough young players. They kind of need to start winning games.
But you
right?
got to develop. These guys have been so underdeveloped. Because
no, I get
of
that. But this isn't a full teardown job.
Okay, but I'm not saying it's a full teardown job.
This is a team that should have made the playoffs last year. This is a team with a few tweaks. Could be the seventh team, the sixth team in the Eastern Conference. So, like, are we really sitting around hoping just to squeeze some development out of guys? Or is it about time to win? I mean, some of these players on the roster need to start winning games.
I understand that. But with which player has developed enough for you to say you'd be comfortable with them as is?
Zach LaVine.
Okay, he came in developed.
Wendell Carter.
Wendell Carter's developed enough for you?
Chris Dunn.
Chris Dunn's developed enough for you.
But they could be winning players.
But who's
for
supposed
you?
To be the best player on this team?
Zach LaVine.
Who's supposed to be the second best player on this team?
Lauri Markkanen.
Okay, is he developed yet?
No.
Okay, what are we doing here?
I understand your point.
Kobe White?
How much of that is on the player? Like, you can mope around saying that your coach isn't always doing, but you also disappear in games. And I remember breaking down the footage of you playing at Arizona. You disappeared in games in the Pac-12. It's not like you were out there as the number one player in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. Boylan is not good. There needs to be some effort put forward by the Finland individual, Lauri Markkanen.
Finnish?
Sure.
Finland individual?
Yeah.
Does it finish?
Finnish.
Would you like to see him finish more?
Perhaps.
See what I did there?
Yeah. But like Kobe White, yeah, he will be developed. Lauri Markkanen, come on. It's time to play good basketball.
I get that. But I don't want to see it with Jim Boylan. I don't want to see it with Jim Boylan.
No, I agree with you. I just think that it's interesting. The Knicks are going to interview all these different candidates. The Bulls, waiting. They're just waiting.
It's You're going to do so much damage if you keep boiling around.
It's something we will continue to watch. Bleck and Abdallah here with you here on ESPN 1000. We're going to talk football next. Jamal Adams wants to head to the Cowboys. We'll talk about it.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Last Friday on social media, safety Jamal Adams wrote, "It's time to move on." He has requested a trade from the New York Jets. The Jets have not commented on Adams' trade request. Sources said the team has no intention on trading him this offseason, but the player is unhappy. Jamal Adams wants a new contract, one of my favorite players in the NFL. I love watching him play because he's not only a safety who can play in coverage, he hits. Right, and he can get into the box and he can play the run as well, and he's so athletic. So I enjoy watching Jamal Adams play, and I think any team that could find a way to land him would definitely it would be a big deal for him to go somewhere. But if you're the New York Jets, why would you move him? At the moment, you have him under contract. He's unhappy, but this is the kind of the way it works in the NFL. Teams don't have to budge. And like, what, Jamal Adams is just going to sit out the season?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't make the money then. I mean, how has this really played out for individuals in the past?
Not well.
Le'Veon Bell, yeah. Like, did it really work out in his benefit that he sat out?
Not really.
No, it didn't. Ezekiel Elliott eventually caved, so he showed up at some point.
Saw Dak Prescott sign his franchise tender today.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if Jamal Adams is going to hold out or until they force a trade, but ultimately you got a guy who doesn't want to be there, who's a very good player, and you could get something for him right now because you have control. His contract is for three more years, so you have control over him for 3 more years. You know, his completion percentage when he's targeted, with quarterbacks' completion percentage when they target him is right around 55%. It's been that for the last 2 years, so he's consistent. You know, he only played 14 games this season. His targets went down, though. So in 2018, he was targeted 60 times. Quarterbacks completed 33 passes against him. And last year, he was only targeted 38 times. And quarterbacks completed 21 of those passes. So he's maintained the consistency. He's a very good player, like you mentioned, plays the run very well. But ultimately, like, if you're the Jets, you have to look at it. Is it worth it? Is it worth putting up with a disgruntled player when he's good enough that you, and he's in a high-value position, right? Like Le'Veon Bell, no one was going to trade for him because of what they wanted for him. But Jamal Adams, you could get probably what you want for him with Jamal Adams because of how young he is and how good he is. Like, you could still get value out of him. You could probably still, I don't know what kind of pick they'd want in return. I would assume they would want either a second, a couple seconds. I don't know if you're getting a first-round pick for Jamal Adams right now, but you'd probably get a second.
Yeah, you'd probably get a second and something else.
Yeah.
Like a second and a fourth, maybe.
I could see that.
What is on ESPN.com is that there's a cell phone video posted social media, presumably shot on Sunday, in the Dallas area. Fans spotted Adams in his Mercedes SUV and asked him, "Are you coming to Dallas?" Jamal Adams responded, "I'm trying, bro." So the Cowboys are one of seven teams that Adams would welcome a trade to. Adam Schefter reported this earlier in the week because Adams is from the Dallas area. 31 miles from AT&T Stadium is where he grew up. So Jamal Adams, the Cowboys, there's a link there. If you look at the Jets, like you were kind of looking at the end of last season, the Jets were actually pretty good. They went 6-2 in the last 8 weeks of the season last year. So I guess the question I would have is, how much of the end of the season for the New York Jets was fluky based on the way the seasons kind of go, the season goes, where you get past the halfway point and some of the teams that you beat are actually not very impressive? Let me give you the list. So this is weeks 10 through 7, the games for the New York Jets last season. Week 10, they beat the Giants 34-27. Darnold had 230 yards passing. Okay, so they beat the Giants. The Giants are not a very good team.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Young team, up and coming, new head coach. I got it. Week 11, Washington on the road. They win 34-17. Terrible team.
Awful team. We saw the Bears did to them. Awful team.
Week 12, home against the Oakland Raiders. The Jets beat them bad, 34-3.
Okay.
That's a good win.
Yeah.
That's a good win.
Yeah.
Then the following week, week 13, December 1st, at Cincinnati, they lose 22-6. Darnold played in that game. So your starting quarterback's there. And at least you lose to the worst team in football, 22-6. That's terrible. You follow that up with, and have you noticed a trend so far? The teams that they're playing, Oakland, okay, they've played four garbage teams. You get Miami. They beat Miami 22-21 in week 14. Then they get three games against decent teams. Really good team in week 15 at Baltimore, 42-21. Baltimore beat them. Week 16, home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Jets win that game 16-10. And at that point, the Steelers were playing, what, their third or fourth quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, the name value.
They beat Duck Hodges. How did they do? Was it
name recognition right there. You beat the Steelers. It's impressive. But Mason Rudolph was a quarterback. He went 14 of 20, 129 yards, one touchdown. Darnold went 16 of 26, 183 yards, one touchdown. So, I mean, that's a sloppy game there. You see Steelers. Like, okay, that's a decent win. Yeah, they had Mason Rudolph playing quarterback. And then they finished the season beating Buffalo 13-6 in week 17. So Buffalo, the Steelers, which without a starting quarterback, Miami, but they weren't really trying, up-and-coming team, though, and Oakland, but, you know, 6-2 in their last eight, not terrible. Like, so the Jets are one of those teams with a young quarterback. You get Jamal Adams into the fold, you kind of look at the overall picture going forward, and you say, you know, this Jets team might be one of those surprise teams as we head into this next football season. They ended last year well. They've got a young quarterback who played okay towards the end. Like, it would be bad for them, I think, to move off of Jamal Adams because they need more young, talented players. They need to keep them in the fold.
I agree with you. Darth Vader has emerged.
Oh, no. You're saying Manfred? Manfred has... Manfred is coming out of his...
Has emerged.
Shadows. Here he comes.
Darth Vader
with
has
his
emerged.
Cronies, owners left and right
Darth
flanking him
Vader
as they walk
has
through
emerged.
The Emperor's palace. What does Manfred have to say? Is he speaking tonight?
According to Bob Nightingale, MLB has decided to play a 60-game season if the union agrees to have their players report by July 1st and they agree on the safety and health protocols in their operating manual. MLB wants a decision by 5 p.m. Let me read you the statement.
By 5 p.m. when?
Tomorrow.
Oh, wait. So we actually have a specific date that we need an answer for?
5 p.m. tomorrow. Probably Eastern, so 4 p.m. Central.
It's the final countdown.
I think so.
But maybe not. It might be. But we won't play baseball this season.
So here's what the statement says. Major League Baseball issued the following statement tonight. Today, the Major League Baseball Players Association informed us that they have rejected the agreement framework developed by Commissioner Manfred and Tony Clark. Needless to say, we are disappointed by this development.
So disappointed.
The framework provided an opportunity for MLB and its players to work together to confront the difficulties and challenges presented by the pandemic. It gave our fans the chance to see an exciting new postseason format and offer players significant benefits, and it listed all the DH and all that kind of stuff. In view of this rejection, the MLB clubs have unanimously voted to proceed with the 2020 season under the terms of the March 26th agreement. The provisions listed above will not be operative. In order to produce a schedule with a specific number of games, we are asking that the Players Association provide us by 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, so 4 p.m. Central, with two pieces of information. The first is whether players will be able to report to camp within 7 days by July 1st. The second is whether the Players Association will agree on the operating manual, which contains the health and safety protocols necessary to give us the best opportunity to conduct and complete our regular season and postseason.
Ah.
So that's...
So all that means by 5 o'clock tomorrow, we'll have an answer.
4 o'clock Central.
By 4 o'clock Central, we will have an answer. The players must respond to Manfred and his cronies.
Spring training would start July 1st with the 60-game regular season starting the weekend of July 24th through the 26th, as Bob Nightingale has tweeted, play ball.
He did not. He wrote that?
He literally wrote.
That's how he...
Spring training will start July 1st.
I gotta look at this.
With the,
hold on.
Here,
I'm
right
coming
here.
Over
look,
here.
Here, right here.
What do you got?
Right. Spring training will start July 1st with the 60-game regular season.
And that's a new tweet? I feel like he's played balled us before.
7:28
PM. Hasn't Nightingale done this a couple times in the last couple weeks?
Play ball.
Hasn't he determined that we're going to play ball a couple times here?
Play ball.
I mean, so the news that we need to get out there is that by 4 o'clock tomorrow, we will finally have an answer. Is that what we're saying?
We'll have an answer. The union, Jeff Passan is saying that, the union is asked to respond by 4 p.m. We'll talk Central, 4 p.m. Tuesday. In other words, MLB is planning on a season.
It's the final countdown.
Maybe. But probably not. They're going to file a grievance in court. It'll go to an arbiter, and he'll probably side with baseball. Did you like my song?
It's a great song.
Thank you.
We'll talk with Zahid of Sharma about baseball and whether or not they're going to play next.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so we might actually have a definitive answer when it comes to this baseball story, right? We might actually, and the news is what, Abdallah, tomorrow at 4 p.m., tomorrow we might actually have an answer on whether or not we will have baseball this season.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you want to think, you go right ahead and you keep thinking that.
But before we went to commercial break, we had the news from Bob Nightingale and now John Heyman and everyone around baseball. They're tweeting out, we have a countdown. We might play.
I'm not going to believe it's... There's a lot of things I don't believe it until I see it, Chris. Until there is a hurler on the mound and a batter in the box taking a stance.
Yes.
Doing a little glove adjustments.
Right.
Adjusting themselves.
And then readjusting. Adjust the adjustment.
Until that takes place.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue to believe that we're just not going to play this year.
Let's talk to one of our good friends and baseball minds, Zahid of Sharma from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Zahid of Sharma. Zahid, as we sit here tonight, do you think they will actually figure it out by 4 o'clock tomorrow and we will have baseball on the calendar?
Yeah, I think this is what, when the players said when and where, this is what they meant. They didn't mean we want to continue negotiating. It was like, okay, if you don't really want to meet our demands, then just, you know, mandate the season. Tell us what you want to do and let's get it done, mandate it, and you know, no more back and forth, no more we'll give a little of that, we'll take a little of this. Just tell us what we're doing from the original March agreement and let's go play baseball. And I think this is what essentially happened tonight. I'm glad to see that it was 30 teams unanimously voted. We don't have to try and figure out who are the, you know, suspicious few that didn't want to have a season. There's been rumors of that going around, and I'm sure it was true. I'm sure there were some that didn't want to waste their time with the season in a sense because they feel it's not worth the investment. But I think that would be short-sighted, and hopefully they can, you know, now that all the bickering hopefully is behind us. I mean, we have years more bickering to look forward to, but hopefully baseball can be played. I think, you know, I think we all know the grander issue here is the pandemic that we're facing that still hasn't gone away.
But if the players still have the option to file a grievance, will they? And what will that mean for any type of holdup to this season?
Yeah, I don't think that'll affect the season. I think they just move forward. It's kind of like the Chris Bryant situation, right? You file the grievance. It's there. If you want to proceed with it, is a different story. How that works exactly, I think that's kind of a precursor to 2021 after the season and what we're looking at. You know, we're basically been talking about it for even before all of this started, before the shutdown. We've been talking about 2021 for a while, right? We've been preparing ourselves for a strike or a lockout of something or something, and come, you know, end of 2021 into 2022. So I think that's all what this is leading up to. It was a lot of posturing. The players were looking for some sort of a win, so to say, because every single CBA for the last 20-plus years, they've given a little bit more to the owners, to the point where, you know, we've seen what it led to. A lot of, you know, down salaries went down for 2 years in a row. This past winter was the first winter in a couple of years where we actually saw money being spent at high rates. So it's all been leading to this. It's unfortunate that it had to happen with so much going around in the world, but I understand where the players are coming from, being such hardliners and really looking for what they would look at as a win.
And what if players start opting out?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I don't think we'll see a lot unless there's been big outbreaks or players who are really concerned or playing in states that it just doesn't look good right now. I could understand that. I think the players had kind of committed to, okay, if they're going to do this, if it's safe enough to play, if we can agree on it, which hasn't been agreed. The health and safety concerns haven't been agreed upon. The press release said that the players need to come to a conclusion on that, and then tell them if they can come to wherever spring training will be for everyone on July 1st. Which I assume that they'll all be able to do that, and hopefully they've knocked out the health and safety issues and have come to some sort of idea, general consensus on how they will do that. But yeah, I think it's a real issue that players will opt out. I think there will be some players that choose not to do it. We're seeing it in other sports, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens in baseball at all.
Zahav Sharma from The Athletic talking baseball with Chris Bleck and Am Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Okay, so 60-game schedule for this season. Which team does it benefit more, the Chicago White Sox or the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah, that's not an easy one to answer, because you can just say, you know, baseball is a random sport in general, right? Small sample sizes, weird things can happen. I think if we're just talking about, let's look at a shorter season, the makeup of the teams, I would say it may benefit the Cubs in the sense that they have a veteran pitching staff, and a longer season could drain on them. I also think there could be a counter to that in the sense that it's an older pitching staff. Are they going to be properly ramped up? And then I could go back and forth debating myself on this by saying, well, these are veterans who know how to ramp themselves up. They're probably smart enough that they've already started a week or two ago, kind of had an idea that around the end of June, beginning of July, they'd be starting their camps. So hopefully a guy like John Lester, I mean, we've seen video of Yu Darvish already working in, you know, making up new pitches, doing all sorts of stuff. So I think really Lester is the type of guy that you want to make sure that, you know, he's healthy, he's ready to go. Those types of veteran pitchers that are kind of in the, you know, downside of their careers, you don't want them to immediately come out and have a shoulder barking. Or I've heard that I believe in 95, when they had the shortened spring, there were a lot of lower body injuries, a lot of muscle injuries. So we may just see that. Maybe that's just going to happen, and there's no way to really avoid that. But I have heard that the Cubs strength and conditioning, they have a whole new people in charge of strength and conditioning, and they were researching months ago on how to kind of combat that. If you have a shorter spring training, are there ways to train now to kind of combat the issues that may pop up because of that shorter spring training?
I smell a good column, Sharma versus Sharma.
Yeah, I like
where you
this.
Sit there
yeah.
And you debate yourself. I'm, yes. You know, like, I'll take a producer credit, but whatever, no, you know, it's fine. You can have it. You can have it. That's a freebie.
There's no producers on the column. It's just Sahara.
That's a freebie for you,
at
Sharma.
The top.
It's a picture
it.
Of you and then another you back
yes.
to back, and it's just you debating against yourself. What about the guys who are looking to get extensions here, like Javi Baez? We don't know what they're going to do with Chris Bryant. The guys on the Cubs that are up, we know how the Ricketts have been handling the money situation. But given all the uncertainty going in and the lack of money coming in this season, what are those guys going to look like?
That's Ooh, that's really hard to predict, because my assumption for the last month, it doesn't matter if they came to a great agreement, if they, you know, they expanded playoffs, they were all, you know, kumbaya and best friends. No chance was this winter going to be, was a lot of money going to be spent, especially if the owners ended up paying more than what they're probably going to pay now. If they came to a deal, they would have spent more money, right? They were going to take it out on the players this winter, whether they lost the negotiations or not. There's no chance it's going to be a big winter for spending. A guy like Mookie Betts, JT Realmuto, these guys that were looking to cash in, they're just not going to get the types of deals they were expecting. How suppressed it's going to be, I don't know. I don't know what an extension looks like for Javi Baez. It was very clear what it could have looked like. There were a lot of comparables. I don't know what the financial situation for baseball is going to be now, let alone 5 years from now. We don't know what the impact is going to be. It's not going to be a good impact. It's going to take a little while to build things back up. What does that mean for extensions? I don't know. Do players just want to go hit the free agent market now? Is that more lucrative, or is the safety of an extension more compelling for them now? It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I do know that it kind of is, if it wasn't a holding pattern back in March, I don't know if you can even restart those negotiations, because they may just be so far off now. And who knows what ownership will approve. If Cubs fans thought the past two winters were slow for their team, I can't imagine what's going to happen this winter. I don't see how Ricketts' family is going to be spending big this winter, or any ownership team, really. I don't see how that happens.
Zahav, last night on the MLB Network, they had a documentary about Ken Griffey Jr. called Junior. If you had to describe to a young baseball fan who didn't get a chance to watch Junior play when he was playing in the major leagues, how would you describe Ken Griffey's game?
Yeah, it'd be the perfect all-around game. I mean, you're talking about now, I didn't think this way when I was a kid, but I mean, finding a power-hitting center fielder that hits from the left side, that plays plus-plus defense, that can run, that's impossible to find. I don't know, like, that's so rare. Now that I, you know, focus on this stuff so much and I think about the draft and prospects, that's the perfect player that you're describing. Outside of, you know, center field, shortstop, those types of characteristics on offense, to get that type of defender is so rare. You know, when I talk about it to my son, I describe the sweet swing, I describe the power, the great defense, and just the overall joy for the game. You know, I think some baseball old school people back then, I'm sure you guys remember, oh, he wore his hat backwards, yeah, he's disrespecting the game. I mean, that, come on, like nowadays that wouldn't, nobody would care about that, right? And he's hopefully we can look at, I mean, we look at him as maybe one of the first of the generation that really showed their feelings on the field. I love that. I mean, who doesn't love watching Javi Baez and the way he plays on the field? I think it's more than just Cubs fans that can appreciate that type of stuff. And obviously the White Sox have that with guys like Tim Anderson. So, I mean, we have that in our city now. We see how much it matters. And I think Griffey was someone, he was kind of ahead of his time in that era, where you saw the joy, the pure joy on the field.
Thank you, Zahadov. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. Always love coming on.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. That's Zahadov Sharma from The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Zahadov Sharma. Which team does it benefit more, 60-game schedule, the White Sox or the Chicago Cubs? I'll tell you why I agree with Zahadov next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So Zahadov was like Zahadov going against Zahadov in my question on which team would it benefit more, the White Sox or the Cubs. So I'm going to agree with one of the Zahadovs.
I think
it's the Cubs. I think it helps the Cubs more because of the veteran pitching staff. They just have to get through the 60-game schedule and then on to the playoffs if they can make it. To me, a veteran team that's been there and done that before with Yu Darvish, John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, Quintana, Chatwood, like, I think that could get it done. I think the Chicago Cubs are the team that are better set, because right now their starting pitching is healthy and they've been there before. I think that will carry the way. Now, if it was a longer season, I would definitely go with the White Sox.
Okay.
Because I think the young talent would definitely win out over the course of like a 90-game season, 162. Like the White Sox team, I like them better. But I think in this truncated 60-game schedule, a team that's won a World Series with veteran leadership, I like that.
Okay. How was that bullpen last year?
Well, I mean, not great.
Okay, so that's the point, is you're going to start these games. You're not going to be, John Lester is not going to be able to go out there and give you seven innings, six innings. He might be able to give you three.
You need a long man.
You need a long man.
Well, that's why
you need a bullpen.
Tyler Chatwood's there. He'll give you some long man innings.
Every day?
No, not every day.
Okay, and then what?
And then you hope that Craig Kimbrell comes back.
Okay.
Rested time. Well, think about this. You're worried about the fatigue on the arm.
Mm-hmm.
But these pitchers have had the last 3 months off.
Yeah. They're cold.
Resting.
They're cold.
Well,
gotta warm up those arms.
Craig Kimbrell's gotta figure it out.
Warm up those arms, boys. We're playing baseball. Maybe.
Maybe, but in 7 days, if yes.
Maybe.
If yes.
Like, it's literally starting over. Literally starting over.
What would you... Well, first of all, I have no empathy for that.
Agreed.
Listen, if you got out of shape in the last 3 months and you didn't throw and you didn't do anything to your body and now you're getting called
in
7 days...
I can't put a mound in my house.
No, I get that. The fine-tuning of an athlete, I get they have to do that. I understand. But if you're completely out of shape and not ready for this season, that's on the ball player.
Also, I believe you should have a mound in the house because you make millions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars. Like, John Lester can't afford to put a mound in the backyard.
Okay. But
can't
not,
get a bunch of dirt.
You wouldn't put it in the
measure
house.
Measure it. Not, you know what I mean, at the house. Okay, fine. I meant at the house.
Yeah, in the backyard, sure.
You can't afford a mound in dirt?
You could.
Flatten that out?
You could.
Get a measuring stick?
I just said you could.
No, I'm just talking to the Royal.
Yeah, no, I know.
The Royal.
Wait, which team would you lean? White Sox or Cubs as the team that this benefits, 60-game schedule, if baseball implements it tomorrow by 4 p.m.?
I kind of think it's the White Sox because they've got nothing to lose at this point. Like, you're just like, whatever. We go out and we just play. Like we don't have the pressure of this could be John Lester's. Like, John Lester's arm could fall out at any minute, you know? Like, Javi Baez wants a new contract. Is this Chris Bryant's last year as a Cub? Like, there's a lot of, you know, Rizzo's not fat anymore. There's a lot of questions about this.
Sometimes some motivation's good for a baseball team.
I understand that, but sometimes the unknown is better. Sometimes they're just like, whatever, we're just going to go out and play, and we're going to try to win, and who knows? We don't know any better.
312-332-3776 if you want to talk baseball with us. We were talking basketball earlier. Brian in Aurora has been waiting patiently. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
Hey, I want to ask you a question that maybe it's kind of synergy with everything.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you have two coaches that were in Chicago, one started in Chicago and had a 65% winning percentage, and then left for another job with a 48% winning percentage. The other coach had a 63% winning percentage, and his next job was 51%. What coach would you choose?
The one with the combined higher percentage in both spots.
So you would choose the first one?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you would choose, Tom Thibodeau.
Okay.
Opposed to Dave Lado.
Okay.
And so why should Chicago go back to a retread when, if you look at what the retread was with Dave Lado, he came back and it's only 46% winning percentage.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but Dave Lado, and thank you for the call, Brian. Dave Lado, I do not think he is up for the Bulls job.
No, and I think that when you
when you look at college basketball, there's so much more that goes into it.
Yeah.
It's recruiting. It's the ability to build a program. And you know, DePaul's in a situation where they have not been relevant for many years. So like I get Brian's point. You would want the guy. You wouldn't want the retread, but because Thibodeau wasn't successful after he left the Bulls, I think Thibodeau is a good basketball coach, though.
I think he is too. I think he's a good basketball mind in general, but ultimately I think that his history with the Bulls is going to lead the organization to not. It's not like the ownership has changed, and I know they've always had a good, the ownership has always had a good relationship with Thibodeau. It was Paxton and Gar that didn't have a good relationship
with Jerry wrote that letter on Thibodeau's way out. That wasn't very great.
Yeah, all right,
but you know, I've heard things have been patched up though. Yeah. And John Paxson, Thibodeau, no issues there.
I think Thibodeau wants that Knicks job, though.
Yeah, but you know what? If they're really going to, if the Knicks are going to interview 10 to 15 candidates,
mm-hmm.
so basically everyone in the league that wants a head coaching
job. They could hire Thibodeau today, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
I guess my point being is if that job does not go to Tom Thibodeau, he would rather have a job than no job. And I think the Bulls job would be something that he, you know, he enjoyed his time here.
Oh, yeah.
He enjoyed being in Chicago.
Absolutely.
He liked being the coach of the Chicago
mm-hmm.
Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Things just didn't work out the first time. I don't know. Like, I get it. By the definition of the rule, he's a retread. I get that. He doesn't feel like a retread to me. Jeff Van Gundy feels like a retread. Mark Jackson feels like a retread. Tom Thibodeau, to me, doesn't feel quite like a retread. You know, like, was Pete Carroll, when he got the Seahawks job, was he a retread? He had opportunities before.
Yeah.
With the Jets. Like, sometimes the first go-around doesn't always work.
What does Matthew McConaughey say? Sometimes you got to move back in order to move forward.
He's the one that says that?
Matthew McConaughey in the commercials.
Oh, the Lincoln Town Car commercials?
Sometimes you got to move back.
So, like, at the end of the commercial,
before you move forward, he
finds that pond in the middle of the woods,
mm-hmm.
and he just opens up the hatchback, and he just sits there?
Yeah, he just wants to see the pond.
Have you ever driven to some woods and a pond and just opened up the hatchback and taken a sit?
Just to have a sit? Isn't that what we do everywhere?
No. What do you mean, everywhere?
Everywhere. If I were to drive...
Are you suggesting that's what we're doing right now?
If I were to get up in my car, if I were to go to my car and be like, you know what? I want to go to a beach. I go to the beach, I get out of my car, and I sit on the beach. What's the difference?
But you're like...
It's the same thing. He wanted to sit at a pond, so he got in his car, he drove to the pond, and he sat there to look at the pond.
To a remote pond.
Okay. What's the difference? Do you want to go to the Grand Canyon?
Do mosquitoes not bother Matthew McConaughey? Because he's just chilling in the middle of the woods.
No, he takes vitamin B. He gets the vitamin B. Do you think mosquitoes bite Matthew McConaughey?
Yes.
No. That's sweet blood.
They do. Yes.
My God.
Yeah, they want all that.
Absolutely not.
Prime rib.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, they're all about that.
Think about it. When you go to the Grand Canyon, you drive to the Grand Canyon, you pull up, you just stare at the Grand Canyon. What's the difference?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I've flown over it.
Congratulations.
Well, I just don't need to go drive up to it.
You don't stop questioning what Matthew McConaughey does. He's Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying you brought him up and I said he drives to a remote pond.
I just brought up the saying sometimes you got to move back before you can move forward. Maybe it's time for Tom Thibodeau to come back before he moves forward.
Or maybe he could just drive to his pond and just have a stare.
We got a lake.
We do have a lake. Maybe he can come back.
It's right there.
Is that what we just did? Now we're okay with Thibodeau coming back?
I'm fine with it.
All right, we're back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.